弟兄姐妹平安。
Peace be with you, brothers and sisters.
非常高兴今天就是2014年夏天第一天来跟你们分享主的道。
I'm very happy today to be sharing the message with you on this day, which is the first day of summer in 2014.
Ithaca 在夏天的时候就像伊甸园一样美丽。
It looks like Ithaca in the summer is just like the Garden of Eden. It's pretty as the Garden of Eden.
有的人说，这个年轻一代的人是时代爱 Generation I。
So some people say that the young people in these nowadays is the Generation I or I generation.
Okay. 他们为什么会这么说呢？
Why do they say that?
因为有人认为年轻人他们最关心的就是自己。
So because a lot of people think that nowadays the young people all they care about is themselves.
他们精通各种电器。
So they're digitally sophisticated.
但是同时也非常以自我为中心。
However, they are completely self-absorbed.
那是不是这样？可能有不同的意见，但是最近有一个很有趣的调查。
There might be different opinions on that kind of on that view we just talked about. However, there's been a survey recently.
而这个调查就提供一点证据，说这可能是真的。
So from that, the result of that survey, actually gives us a little hint into or insight into the statement just now.
这个调查就看过去几十年最受欢迎的一百首。歌曲，流行歌曲是它的歌词怎么样
？So in this survey is talking is checking to see the popular songs that have been sang among the young people, the 100 popular songs, and they look at the lyrics.
然后呢，他们发现的确在过去几十年有发生变化。
So they've found that there has been changes in the lyrics in the past few decades.
在八十年代的时候。歌曲经常会用我们也会有一些充满积极向上的那种情感
So in the 80s, the lyrics usually use the word we or to convey some kind of positive emotion
一个好的例子就是Cool and the Gang 他们写的一首歌叫Let's All Celebrate and Have a Good Time
所以呢一些歌呢譬如说像那个 Cool and the Gang 这个组织他们唱了他就说哦我们一起来庆祝一起来好好的享受
那首歌很多人都喜欢但是今天的歌呢就不一样它会经常有我这个字出现而且它里面的情感是比较低迷的
That song we just talked about, a lot of people like. However, the songs nowadays people sing has a lot of the word I, and also the emotions that's conveyed has a lot of negative or violent languages.
那如果要提到一个例子，在2006年有一个歌手叫 Little Jackie， 他的歌叫The World Should Revolve Around Me。
So 有一个歌手呢，他叫 Little Jackie， 他2006年有一首歌，他就叫做这个世界应该绕着我而旋转。
那我想不管怎么样，我们可以把握的说，当代的美国文化很迷恋自我。
So however you look at it, we can say with a pretty much certainty that these days, all these youth or the popular culture actually is indulging in ourselves.
但是当我们看到保罗他在这个罗马书十二章里面所写的话那真的是好像耳目一新
However, when we look at the words that Apostle Paul told us that we just read about it was something that's really refreshing
因为这段圣经并不是告诉我们世界要绕着我们转
Because this passage didn't tell us that this world revolves around me.
反而要我们开始向外看到别人的需要。
To the opposite, we actually need to look outside and look at the needs around us.
所以今天我们要看到罗马书十二章四个特质。
So today we're going to look at the four characteristics in this passage.
这四个特质是帮助我们从一个 以自我为中心的人成为一个以他人为中心的人。
So these passages will help us to go from the attitude of self-centeredness to other-centeredness.
那这四个特质并没有字面出现在这个经文里面。
So these four characteristics are not necessarily appear specifically with words in the passage.
但是这个意思就清清楚楚的可以看得到。
But the meaning is very clear in the message.
所以我们一起来探讨。
So let's read it together.
先首先哦，对，这个就是 Cool in the Gang， 还可以下一个我们的这个，然后这个是我说的世界应该是绕着我转。好，下一个，这个是时代爱。OK， 下一个。好，我们一起来看罗马书十二章十三节，请圣徒缺乏要帮补，客要一味的款待。所以第一个特质是什么呢？
So what is the first characteristic?
慷慨。
Generosity。
那么慷慨的定义可以说是甘心乐意与人分享。
So the meaning of generosity means that you're willing and happily share with others.
但是我们的性格本来不是自然有这样的倾向。
However, our personality or our own characteristic are not naturally that way.
我们反而更容易会想要尽量留住自己已经拥有的。
Because more likely we would like to keep whatever we have.
而且尽量拿到更多。
And then to grab as many as we can.
那但是保罗他这里要帮助我们开始看到我们周围人的需要。
However, Paul asks us to start looking around and see the needs around us.
他用帮补这个词很有意思。
So here is a share with the Lord's people.
那个希腊文的原文那个意思是他就是 koinonia 这个词意思是团契。
So the word share in Greek means is a verb form of a koinonia and that means fellowship.
所以在新约圣经里面这个词会经常出现，但是它通常是属灵上交流分享的意思。
So this word appears a lot in the New Testament and usually it means to fellowship spiritually.
可是在这里保罗用 koinonia 来指在物质上分享交流。
So here Paul uses the same Greek word to mean to share physical or material things.
而当我们这样做的时候，我们在物质上与我们周围的弟兄姐妹分享，就是满足他们的需要，我们属灵上的团契会更加深入。
So here it means that if we share materially, to serve the needs of others, spiritually we can actually fellowship better.
好，这是一方面，但是后面的这个经文后面的一段是另外一个要讨论的意思。
So the second part of this verse is talking about a different part of generosity.
对，所以刚刚谈的是分享，就是 sharing.
Just now we talk about sharing.
那么现在我们看另外一个意思是好客，就是 hospitality.
Yeah, so the second part is talking about hospitality.
那么hospitality 是指去照顾不是属于我们家人或者朋友的圈子的人。
So, 好客 or hospitality means to take care of people who are not part of our family or part of our friend's circle.
当然这个是严格的来定义。
So this is a strict definition.
如果要从宽来定义的话，那当然也可以包括我们的朋友和家人。
And obviously, if you want to extend the meaning, then this hospitality can also include two people in our family or people we know.
那为什么好客在早期的教会那么重要呢？
Why is hospitality so important in early churches?
其实一个很实际的原因是，当时很多的传道人他们是旅行到各地方去传福音。
This actually has a practical importance because at that time, a lot of people who were spreading the gospel, they walk and go all over different places, different cities.
但是当时，旅馆是很少很少的。
At that point, there isn't so much of inn or hotels.
只有在最大的都市，或者在很大的道路旁边，会有这样的一个地方可以睡觉。
So only in the big cities or maybe like a major road, there's places for you to rest.
所以呢，一般人如果要找地方睡的话，他必须在个人家里睡。
So for average people, if they are far away from home, they need a place to stay. They actually have to sleep at someone else's house.
而且当时的家庭并不是像我们今天在美国可能好几个房间，然后他们可以睡一个房间，你在另外一个房间。
So at that point, the way the household is set up, it's not like the modern housing where you have different rooms and your guests can stay in the guest room. They actually probably all share one room.
他们只有一个房间，而且动物 也要在那个房间的下面的部分睡觉。
So they all share one room, and the animals, so they will sleep underneath the room.
那如果是你的话，你有客人过来。要你不认识他对吗？那要睡在跟你家人同一个房间里面，可能会感觉有一点点的尴尬。
So if it were for you, and then you were to welcome someone that you don't know, and then this person is going to share your room with you and your family, you may feel a little bit awkward.
那么，所以我想可能很自然的会有一些人觉得算了，太麻烦。
So naturally, some people will feel like, forget it, this is too much trouble.
但是保罗在这里是。提醒罗马基督徒不可以这样。
So Apostle Paul actually reminded Christians in Rome not to do this.
他说客人要款待。
He said to be hospitable to your guests.
而且他用一个词，这个词很有意思，是追求。
He uses one word that's really interesting. That means practice.
我们要追求成为一个好客的人。
So you practice to become a hospitable person.
那追求不是。被动坐在那里等别人来叩你的门。
So when you need to practice, you actually don't just sit at home and wait for people to knock on your door.
而是你主动的去找一些机会。
However, you actually actively have to look for the opportunity.
你愿意成为这样的人。
You are willing to become one of those.
所以我们看到这两部分分享和好客，我们就知道慷慨自然的会。叫我们更加去想到别人的需要。
So here's talking about being generous and also hospitable. That means that when you're generous, you actually more and more think about other people's needs.
那我这里要提到圣经里面一个非常有趣的一个例子。
And here I would like to point out a very pretty interesting example in the Bible.
这个人本来很自私，后来就懂得要慷慨。
This person was very selfish to begin with, and later on he actually became quite generous.
这个人叫撒该。
And that's Zacchaeus.
那撒该他是住在耶稣那个时代的一个犹太人。
So Zacchaeus is a Jew, and he was at the time of Jesus.
他的职业是做税吏长。
So his occupation is actually a tax collector.
在当时的社会里面，这个职业是非常被藐视的。
So at that time, a tax collector was really despised.
因为他们要替罗马帝国效劳。
Because they work for the Roman Empire.
帮他们收税。
And they collect tax.
但犹太人不要罗马帝国在那里控制他们。
And they collect tax from Jewish people. And the Jewish people actually don't want Roman Empire to control them.
而且这些收税的人，他们通常会。收比他们原来需要收的税要多得多的钱。
And these tax collectors, they usually collect more tax than they need to do.
因为剩下的那笔钱可以放自己的口袋里。
Because they can pocket the rest of it.
那么撒该他是税吏长，所以他手下很多的税吏在帮他做事情。
So Zacchaeus, he's the leader of all the tax collectors. So he actually has a lot of little tax collectors who work for him.
而且他住在一个贸易城市叫耶利哥。
And he lives in a trading city that's called Jericho.
那贸易城市那个收税的机会多。
So in the trading city, there's a lot more opportunity to collect tax.
所以他就发财了。
So he is actually pretty well to do.
可是，所以我们看到，其实那个撒该他整个的生活是可以说以自我为中心，不择手段，要凌驾在人之上。
So at that time, the life of Zacchaeus is more of self-centeredness, and also he actually, with any means possible, he would like to grab whatever he wants to get.
但是同时，我们也看到，其实这样的生活并没有带给他满足。
And we know that this kind of life did not satisfy him.
他没有朋友，他心里很空虚。
He didn't have any friends. He was really empty inside.
所以当耶稣来到耶利哥的时候，他就非常的好奇。
So when Jesus came to Jericho, he was really curious.
他就跑出去，然后他 甚至爬在树上要看到耶稣。
So he went to where Jesus was, and then he even climbed the tree and wanted to see Jesus.
因为他个子很矮。
Because he was short.
然后呢，没想到耶稣经过的时候，就抬头看他说，撒该，我今天必须在你家里住。
And he didn't realize that actually when Jesus passed by his tree, Jesus lifted up his head and he looked at him and said, Zacchaeus, tonight I'm going to your house.
撒该非常的震撼，也非常的兴奋。
So it shocked Zacchaeus, but he was also very excited.
当他真的开始认识耶稣之后呢？
After he truly came to know Jesus,
他整个的人生观发生很大的一个变化。
So his entire value system was shaken.
本来他是欺骗人
He was a traitor
或者
He was a liar
他会想办法抢别人的钱
And he robbed other people of their money
就是透过收税 要抢别人的钱
through collecting tax
但是现在呢他说他愿意还任何他欺骗人他愿意还给他四倍的钱
And now he said that whoever he has dishonestly get money from, he will repay four times as much.
在旧约里面有律法说，你如果偷钱，然后你自愿的还给人，你还要加20%分的那个原来的价值。
So in the Old Testament, the law requires that if you were to steal money, and then if you were to do a voluntary restitution, you pay 20% more.
所以他比这个律法原来要求的还要多很多。
So what he was doing was actually a way above what was required by the law.
然后呢，他不但这样，他也说，我把一半我的财产，他很有钱，一半我的财产要捐给穷人。
And not only so, he also said that because he was a rich man, he was willing to give half of what he had to poor people.
所以我们看到他遇到耶稣基督。他的整个人生观是如何的变化
So we can see that after knowing Jesus His entire value system has changed
从自私到慷慨
From being selfish to being generous
我们做耶稣的门徒也要学习这样改变
And for us as disciples of Jesus We also have to be transformed this way
那么对别人慷慨我觉得要做得很实际
So when you practice generosity, it has to be realistic or practical.
其实可以是很小的事情。
It could be something very small.
我们教会有一个弟兄曾经他和他妻子他们煮过饺子带到我们家里送给我们吃就走了。
I remember a brother from our church. In his family, they made dumplings. And one night, he actually came over and delivered dumplings in my household. And then he took off.
在我们忙碌的生活当中，这是很大的祝福。
So this to us was a great blessing in our busy life.
也是很实际的帮助。
And that was also a very practical help.
那有时候慷慨也可以是很大的事情。
And at times generosity can mean big things you do.
我认识一个美国朋友。
I know of a friend who is an American.
他曾经他在教会里有一个朋友，那位朋友也是弟兄，他的肾出很大的问题。
A Christian or a brother of from the church that he went to had a problem with his kidneys.
甚至快要完全失去功能。
And the kidneys almost come to a complete failure.
我的朋友他为了这位弟兄就捐他一个肾。
So my friend actually was willing, and he actually went ahead and do it to donate one of his kidneys to this brother.
那个人的生活就完全改变。
So that completely changed that recipient's life.
所以这是很大的事情。
And this is a great thing that he did.
但是两个例子都是很实际的，很实在的。
And both examples are very practical.
那我还提到一点，就是慷慨。如果我们要学习慷慨，我们给出去的时候不要求回报。
So if we want to exercise generosity, we have to remember that whatever we give, we don't expect to get paid back.
我们的动机，我们之所以付出，是因为耶稣给我们这么多。
The motivation for us to give was because we were given much by Jesus.
如果我们给人家的时候，我们要他回报的话
，If we expect return when we give,
一方面我们的动机有一点不太纯正。
On the one hand, it looks like our motivation may not be correct.
另外一方面，我们很容易失望。
On the other hand, we are easily disappointed.
因为别人不一定会领会你的慷慨。
Because other people, they may not understand or understand your generosity.
但如果是为主做的话，不管他们怎么做，我们还是很开心。
However, if we do it for Jesus, then no matter how other people look at our generosity or accept our generosity, we are still happy.
好，那现在我们换到下一个，就是下一个特质。我们刚刚讨论的是慷慨，现在我们要谈到一个另外一个特质。哦，这个是那个撒该，这个特质叫恩慈。
So the second characteristic we're going to be talking about is graciousness.
那我对那个恩慈的定义是这样。
And my definition for graciousness is as following.
以良善回应人，包括那些得罪我们的人。
To that means to respond with goodness even when we are wronged.
保罗他这里说，我们一起来看好吗？十四节，请。
Read it together, verse 14.
逼迫你们的要给他们祝福，只要祝福，不可咒诅。所以保罗他这里吩咐罗马基督徒对那些逼迫他们的人、要害他们的人祝福。
So here, Apostle Paul asked the Christians in Rome to bless those who persecute them.
这明显是回应耶稣基督登山宝训的教导。
So this is actually a response, also echoes what the teachings in the Sermon on the Mount.
耶稣是怎么说的？
What did Jesus say?
你们要爱你们的仇敌。
Love your enemy.
也要为逼迫你的人祷告。
Pray for those who persecute you.
保罗是用耶稣基督的教导。
So Apostle Paul uses the teachings of Jesus.
这样的教导，爱你的仇敌，祝福那些逼迫你的人，那个是史无前例的，那是耶稣独特的教导。
So such kind of teaching to teach you to bless those who persecute you is unprecedented.
而且我们真的要去想一想，圣经这里所说的意思是什么。
So we have to think deeply what this really means.
我觉得有的时候我们觉得爱仇敌不可能，这个是一个崇高的理想，但根本不可能做到。
So a lot of times we would think that, well, it's impossible to do. Although it's a good goal, but it's impossible to do.
耶稣可以做到，我不可能做到。
Jesus can do it, but I can't.
但是我觉得圣经并不是这样，他是要我们真正去做。
But the Bible didn't mean that. The Bible wants us to do it.
但是我们要明白，到底这个祝福逼迫我们的人是什么意思。
But we have to understand what it means by being persecuted.
而且为什么上帝要我们怎么做？
And why is it that God wants us to do it this way?
祝福这个词，那个意思是我们愿意一个人，他蒙上帝的保守，和我们要他幸福。
So blessings mean, or to bless means that we want that person to receive blessings, to have a good life.
So 呢就是说我们并不是要上帝祝福他错误的行为。
So we're not asking God to bless the wrong things that your enemy is doing.
但是我们盼望他们能够经历上帝的爱和怜悯。
But we hope that they can also experience the hope and the grace of God.
就是说我们开始看到逼迫我们的人，我们不是单单看到自己的委屈，我们开始看到他属灵上的需要。
So that means that we're not only looking at how much we have to lose, but we're looking at how much that person needs.
我们盼望他们能够得到上帝的怜悯，他们愿意悔改，这是我们心里所盼望的。
So what we hope is that they can receive mercy from God, and they can repent and then be saved by God.
所以上帝要我们为他们祷告，主要的目的是不要我们成为像他们那样。
So the Lord asks us to pray for them. That means that to ask us to be put ourselves in their shoes.
他不要我们心里充满怨恨，就是抱怨还有审判的那种意念。
So the God doesn't want us to have a lot of resentment, a lot of complaints,
或者向他们报仇
or to even to revenge.
因为当我们这样做的时候，我们就越来越像他们那样。
Because the more and more we do it that way, then we more and more we actually become our, like our enemies.
就变成一个恶性循环。
And this is a vicious cycle.
没有，上帝要保护我们，他要我们真的得到他的祝福，所以他给我们这样的一个命令。
But God wants to protect us. He wants us to really get blessings. So that's why He asks us to do it this way.
那我这个有一个很好的例子，你们大概都听说过一个有名的宣教士叫戴德生。
So there is a good example I'd like to talk about. I think most of us have heard about this famous missionary. His name is Hudson Taylor.
戴德生在1854年去中国。
Hudson Taylor, he went to China in 1854.
160年前。
It was about 160 years ago.
他那个时候只有22岁。
And he was only 22 when he went.
那么他先在上海待两年。
So he stayed in Shanghai for 2 years.
那两年之后他就决定要搬到宁波那里去。
So after that he decided to go to 宁波。
所以他把他所有的书和财产都放在一个大箱子里面。
So he put all his books and belongings and his money into one big box.
其实那个箱子不是特别大，他东西真的不多，他所有的财产都在那个箱子。
So the box is not a big box, because he didn't own a lot of things, but that's all he had.
然后他有一个佣人帮他，还有两个苦力要扛着。那个箱子走到宁波。
So he had a servant and two coolie, two workers.
他们在路上他们扛着那个箱子，然后带着箱子在不同的小镇里面布道。
So these people went with Hudson Taylor and then went with him so that he can preach in different cities.
但是两个苦力走得很慢。
But the two laborers, they walk very slowly.
他们是烟鬼。Opium addict.
Oh, yeah, they're opium addicts. Yeah.
他们走得不快。
So they can't walk fast.
那但是那个戴德生他不想在路上浪费时间。
So Hudson Taylor didn't want to waste time on his road.
所以他就告诉他的佣人说：“你再找另外两个苦力，聘请他们来扛着我的箱子，我要走到前面的那个小镇那里去布道。”
So he told his servant.To look for two other laborers to carry his box, and he's going to walk ahead of them to another city.
但是当他离开之后呢，那个佣人决定要把那个带着上所有的东西偷走。
And so as soon as Hudson Taylor left, the servant actually decided to steal all of his stuff.
其实带着上本来不知道。
So initially Hudson Taylor didn't know about that.
他只知道到下一个镇那里，他们本来是约在那里集合。找不到人。
He only knew that he supposedly meet up with his servants and the laborers in the next city. However, when he was there, he couldn't find anyone.
找不到他的东西。
He couldn't find his stuff either.
他一个人在中国内陆。
He was alone in the inland of China.
他身上的钱很少。
He doesn't have much money with him.
结果呢，他那天晚上没地方睡，他被迫睡在那个街头上。
So that night he has nowhere to stay, so he had to sleep on the street.
冷冷的。
It was cold.
他躺在地上。
And he lied on the floor.
他疲惫。
He was tired.
很饿。
He was hungry.
然后呢，他就睡了。
And he fell asleep.
他在睡觉当中，突然感觉到有手在摸他的衣服。
So in the middle of his sleep, he felt that a hand was touching him.
他就吓一跳，就醒过来。
He was shocked, and then he woke up.
有一个乞丐在摸他的衣服，要偷他的钱。
So a beggar actually touched him and wanted to steal his stuff.
他就抓那个乞丐的手，抓得狠狠的。
So he grabbed this this hand of the beggar, and he grabbed really tight.
然后那个乞丐就走掉，他就坐在旁边。
So the beggar went away.
然后呢，那个戴德生不敢再睡。
So Hudson Taylor did not dare to fall asleep again.
一直到早晨。
Until the morning.
第二天早上，他就又起来开始。找船可以带他回到上海去。
So the next morning he was looking for a ferry or a boat to take him back to Shanghai.
他在路上一边走一边祷告。
So as he walked, he prayed.
然后呢，上帝的圣灵就让他良心不安。
So the Holy Spirit actually stirred some sort of uneasiness in him.
他就突然意识到，他这样抓那个乞丐的手那么狠，他知道这个不好，但态度不好。
He realized that the way he grabbed the beggar's hand was forceful and was violent, so it wasn't good for him to do.
他就在上帝面前悔改。
So he repented before God.
然后他就与上帝享受非常好的那种属灵上的灵命上的交流。
So at that point, he was enjoying a good relationship, a fellowship, spiritually with God.
他第三天才找到船可以回上海去。
So on the third day, he found a boat to take him back to Shanghai. 然后
他回到上海，他回到上海以后，他就发现哦，原来是他的佣人把他东西偷走。
So when he went back to Shanghai, he realized that his servant has stolen his stuff.
他就写信给那个人说。
So he wrote to the servant.
他说我已经原谅你。
I have forgiven you.
其实真正损失最大的不是我，而是你。
Because the person who has lost the most is you, not me.
我失去的是物质的财产。
What I've lost is material stuff.
你失去的是你的灵魂一部分。
What you have lost belongs to your spirit.
我劝你要悔改归向耶稣基督。
I advise you to repent and confess and repent so that you can return to Jesus.
那个人没有悔改，他也没有把袋子上的东西还给他。
So that person actually did not confess and repent, and he did not return his books either.
但是我们看到戴德生他是如何爱耶稣，而且他培养的那种恩慈是多么，就是多么的美好那种品格。
So from here we can see that the kind of characteristics or the graciousness that Hudson Taylor has cultivated for himself is really great.
其实我觉得这个对我们个人来说，这个是一个很不容易实行的一个教导。
So this is the kind of teaching that is really hard for us to put into practice.
但也是我们每一个人在生活中会面对的一个情况。
But this is something that most, if not all of us, will face.
可能是你的同事在你的背后讲你的坏话。
It might be your colleagues, co-workers to speak ill behind you.
或者可能是你的家人对你的信仰有就是有负面的看法。
Or maybe your family criticize your faith.
或者可能是教会的弟兄或姐妹说一句得罪你的话。
Or brothers and sisters in church have offended you.
我们怎么能够逃脱自我的这个限制，开始看到对方的需要呢？
So how do we depart from self-centeredness and then just start to look at the needs of others?
我觉得圣经耶稣基督的那个提醒，你要为你的仇敌祷告。
So the reminder from Jesus helped us.
我发现这个真的是非常可以对我们非常有帮助。那些你很生气的人或者得罪你的人，你就开始为他祷告。
So I think this actually helps us because we can start praying for those who offended us or those who are our enemies.
保罗在这里说。要为那个他说逼迫你们的要给他们祝福，就是这个意思。你在祷告当中说主啊，我盼望他是蒙福的。
So here Apostle Paul says to bless those who persecute you. That means that whoever is mean to you, you have to pray for them so that they can experience blessings.
当我们开始这样做的时候，我们自己的心开始软化下来。
So when we start doing that, our heart will be softened.
我们的心开始比较接近上帝的心。
So our heart will be closer to God's heart.
并不是小看他们做的错误。
So it's not because we ignore the wrongdoings of our enemies.
但是我们认识主，他可以帮助我们胜过这些委屈。
But as long as we come to know God, we can start to know that we can overcome and have be victorious over these things.
用爱心回应这样别人对我们的就是不公平的对待。
So to respond to unrighteousness with our graciousness.
好，那么现在下一个。我上面的还有两个特质，我讲的比较快一点，因为这个讲到不要拖太长。
So there's two other characteristics I like to talk about, and I'm gonna speed up.
第一个是同理心，我们一起来看。
The first is about empathy.
请，与喜乐的人要同乐，与哀哭的人要同哭。好，我们这里看到的就是保罗，因为我们在谈到从以自我为中心。 转向以他人为中心。
Here, because we would like to talk about how to turn from self-centeredness to other-centeredness.
所以这里我觉得保罗就是要我们学习同理心。
So here, Paul teaches us about empathy.
我觉得上帝创造我们就需要分享我们的情感才能健康。
So I believe that God created us so that we can share our emotions to be healthy.
当我们有好消息跟别人分享，他们跟我们一起庆祝的时候，那个喜乐就加倍。
So when we have good news and we share our good news with others and they rejoice with us, the happiness actually doubled.
当我们有痛苦的事情发生与别人分享，那个痛苦就减半。
When there's a sorrow and we share our sadness with others, and actually our sadness divides.
我觉得教会就是我们。
So the church, that means all of us.
我们有呼召要成为一个在情感上彼此担待的一个群体。
So we are called to share the burden of the other people's burden in their feelings.
我觉得保罗他用这种又简单又生动的一种办法来形容这样的一个群体。
So this description that Paul was writing was actually simple and vivid.
我可以很简单的分享一个故事。
I can share a little story with you.
可以下一个。大概两三年前，我跟潘乐我的妻子，我们参加一个夫妇恩爱营。
So about 2-3 years ago, myself and my wife, Pan Le, we went to a marriage enrichment retreat.
有差不多十对夫妇。
So there's about 10 couples there.
然后呢，其中一对夫妇，他们的婚姻关系特别紧张。
So one of the couples was not in a good relationship at that point.
那个先生他的性格特别乖僻。
So the husband's personality was really hard to get along with.
那到每一对夫妇要诚实分享个人婚姻情况的时候，他们就那个妻子开始分享。
So when it comes time for each couple to share honestly about the condition of their marriage, that wife of that couple start to share.
就是在右边的这个人。
So it's the person to the right.
那么他一边分享一边哭。
So she was crying when she shared.
其实当时弟兄姐妹这些夫妇就是给这位姐妹还有这对夫妇可以说很多情感上的支持。
So at that point, the rest of the couples share the feelings.
有同理心。
And they have empathy.
结果呢，她的先生就开始心里很难过。
So at that time, the husband started to feel sad.
他意识到他做得很不好。
He started to understand and realize that he's been doing wrong.
他的态度开始有改变。
So his attitude starts to change.
有悔改的心。
And he started to have a heart of repent.
那个退休会结束之后，他们的婚姻有很大的改善。
So after that retreat, this couple has made big progress in their relationship.
而且就是那一个周末，退休会那一个周末，这位姐妹怀孕。
And especially on that weekend of that retreat, this sister became pregnant.
所以这个小婴孩。
This is a little baby you see here.
这是上帝当时赐给他们的礼物，也可以说是他们的那个婚姻得到医治的一个祝福，带来的一个祝福。
So that was the gift that God gave to them during that retreat, and that was also a blessing in their family.
所以同理心的力量很大。
So the power of empathy is great.
我也盼望我们可以就是各自追求成为这样的一个人，有同理心的人。
So I hope that all of us can pursue and to become a person with empathy.
我们懂得接纳人，也愿意听别人与我们分享的话。
We're willing to be accepting others and to be willing to listen to others.
给他们情感上的支持。
And to be supportive emotionally.
然后看到上帝在他们身上的作为。
So that we can witness God's work in those people.
那最后一个特质，保罗在这里提到四个特质，对吗？第一个是什么？
So the four characteristics, and the first one, generosity, and second,
恩慈，第三个呢？
Graciousness, the third,
那第四个，
and the fourth,
谦卑，
humility,
谦卑。我们一起来看十六节。
Let's read chapter verse 16 together.
要彼此同心。 不要志气高大，倒要辅救卑微的人，不要自以为聪明。那么谦卑就是对自己不高估，还有接受自己的限制。
So humility means that not to look more than what we are, and also to understand our own limitations.
这个经文很有意思，保罗他开头就说要彼此同心。
So in this verse, in the beginning, Paul says, live in harmony with one another.
其实在原文上，这个意思是要向彼此同心。
So in the original Greek word, that means to live in harmony towards one another.
不是与彼此同心。
So not just with each other.
那这个有什么意义呢？
Now what does that mean?
我觉得就是我们保罗的意思，同心并不是说你们每一个人看待什么问题都要有同样的想法。
So live in harmony doesn't mean that we all have the same opinions.
因为这个不可能。
Because that's not possible.
而是我们如何对待彼此，我们有同样的一个心智。
But that actually means that how do we have the same determination or attitude towards one another?
就是彼此相爱，彼此尊重。
That means to love one another, to respect one another.
那么接下来保罗说不要志气高大。
And also Apostle Paul says not to be proud.
在原文是不要想到伟大的事情。
And in the original word, that means that do not think of great things.
其实保罗的意思是不要以为自己很了不起。
And that what that really means is that not to look at yourself as so high, being so high.
当我们觉得自己很了不起，那我们必然与别人开始生出距离。
Because when we start to think of ourselves as being really high, and then we'll start to dissociate ourselves with others.
实际上在十字架下面，人人都平等。
Because on the cross, we're all equal.
每一个人站在耶稣的十字架前面，都没有一个人能够说，我做得多好，我都不需要主的救恩，我就可以进入天堂。
So nobody can be in front of the cross and said to Jesus, I'm so good, I don't need your help, I can go to heaven.
也没有一个人可以说，你看耶稣为我死，我比你好。
Or nobody can say to the other, said, well, look, Jesus died for me, so I'm better than you are.
因为耶稣为每一个人。
Because Jesus died for every one of us.
我们就平等了。
So in that way, we are equal.
这样其实是一个很大的释放。我们跟彼此相处，我们真的要用这样的眼光，平等的眼光来相处。
So in that way, we are liberated. Because that way, then when we look at one another, we are actually equal.
这个我可以分享一个例子。
There is an example I'd like to share.
汪立明是我研究的一个中国基督徒。
王立明 is a Chinese Christian that I was doing my research topic on.
他在1896年出生在安徽省。
In 1896, she was born in the province of Anhui.
他的家庭很穷。
She was poor.
后来他去一个教会学校。
So, and then she attended a Christian school.
从小学到中学到高中。
So elementary school, middle school, and high school.
她成为一个基督徒。
She became a Christian.
然后呢，她透过教会拿到奖学金来美国读书。
So through church, she was able to get scholarship to come to the U.S. for study.
她在西北大学，就是在芝加哥那边念一个本科生，也念一个硕士。
So she went to Chicago to attend Northwestern University, and then she finished her bachelor's and master's degrees.
当时中国妇女有这样的机会到可以读到高中甚至大学甚至在海外读书，这个是凤毛麟角，几乎看不到的。
So at that point for a woman to finish high school and even went overseas and to get a higher degrees and even get a master's degrees, that's almost impossible.
但当她回到中国在上海的时候，
So when she finished her studies and she returned to Shanghai,
其实那个时候他装备条件那么好，他可以很容易找一个很赚钱的工作。
So at that point she really came with a lot of a great degree And then she was, it was easy for her to, if she wants to find a job that would make her a lot of money.
但她就是在一个基督教关怀妇女的一个机构来工作。
However, she decided to work for the Women's Christian Temperance Union in China.
她就在那个机构里面工作几十年。
So she worked there for decades.
而他们重要的一个工作项目是关心上海的这个流浪者。
So one of the major projects this organization is focusing on is to care for those who are homeless.
当时没有人去关心这一群人。
So at that point, nobody cares about these people.
但他们就建立一个妇孺教养院在上海。
So at that point, they actually established a settlement house.
关心妇女和小孩子，他们本来没有家可以住。
So they care for the homeless women and homeless children.
她花很多时间在这一群人身上。
She spends a lot of time on these people.
所以我们就看到她的确就是她不会觉得自己比他们好，她就很谦卑的去帮助他们。
So we can see that she didn't think of herself as a higher or better than these people. She actually was humble and she worked among these people.
但这四个特质其实最好的榜样是谁？就是耶稣基督。
So about the four characteristics, we can see that the best example is on Jesus.
如果谈到慷慨的话，他用五饼二鱼喂饱五千个人。
So talking about generosity, he actually feeds 5,000 people with five loaves and two fishes.
好客，他就刚认识约翰和安德烈的时候，请他们到家来。
So in terms of hospitality, he actually invites John and Andrew to his house the first time he saw them.
谈到恩慈，他被钉十字架的时候说：“父啊，求你赦免他们，因为他们所做的，他们不晓得。”
And talking about graciousness, when he was nailed on the cross, he prayed that Father forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing.
同理心，他就在加纳的婚礼上与那些结婚的夫妇一起庆祝。
Talking about empathy, he actually celebrates in the wedding of Cana.
他在他朋友拉撒路的葬礼上哭了。
He cried at the death of his friend.
而且谈到谦卑，他不断的在那些社会边缘的群体当中去服侍。
And talking about humility, he actually reaches out to the outcasts in the society.
可是他不只是最好的榜样，他认识他的人有他的灵在我们的心里。
Not only is he our example, but for those of us who know him, we actually have his spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be with us.
就是圣灵，圣灵帮助我们从以自我为中心转向以他人为中心。
So the Holy Spirit will help us so that we can change from self-centeredness to become other-centeredness.
当我们开始这样变化的时候
when we start to be transformed this way,
不但是荣耀主，
Not only do we honor and glorify God,
上帝的祝福也会丰丰富富的领到我们周围的人，甚至领到我们自己。
And God's blessings will be upon people around us and also upon ourselves.
好，我们一起做一个祷告。
And let's pray together.
亲爱的父神，我们感谢你今天有机会能够一起来探讨你的话语。
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to study and learn more of your words.
主啊，你的话语就是生命，就是真理。
Lord, your words is life, is truth.
你帮助我们看到该走的路在哪里。
You help us to see what is the path we need to take.
求主的圣灵帮助我们在场每一个弟兄姐妹，主啊，都能够学习成为这样以他人为中心的人。
We ask your Holy Spirit to help all of us here so that we can become a person who is other-centered.
主啊，求你帮助我们在我们各自的生活当中知道怎么样去落实这样的教导。
So we ask you to help us so that we can practice this teaching.
主啊，我们是软弱的人，但是我们仰望你，因为你有能力改变我们。
Lord, we are weak, but Lord, we look upon you because you have the power to transform and change us.
感谢主垂听我们的祷告。
We thank you for hearing our prayers.
奉耶稣基督的名求。
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.